together, even if it's just over Zoom, Lord. I thank you that you give us this avenue to still meet and just learn about you, Lord. And I pray that you would grow our walks, Lord, grow our relationship with you, Lord, as we go through these studies. I pray that you would just teach us more and more about yourself, Lord, and that we would just draw closer to you, Lord. We just want to know you more and more. I do pray for Miss Lori and Mr. Heath's move this weekend, Lord. I pray that it would just go smoothly, Lord. Lord, and that you would just have your hand in it, Lord. And we pray too for Mommy and the rest of the family, Lord, that you would just heal them and just touch their bodies, Lord. You are the great physician, and we just pray for a quick healing. We pray that you would go before the word tonight, Lord. I pray that you would remove anything that needs to be removed and add anything that needs to be added, Lord. I pray that you would speak, Lord, that it would be your words and not mine, and that our hearts would be open and receptive to what you have to say to each and every one of us, Lord. Amen. So, this week we're going through Colossians 1, 13 through 18. I know that it's been a while, so a few of my points I will reference back to a few of the verses, just because as you're going through, it kind of gets confusing as to who specifically the he's are that they're talking about. And the first couple, you just have to look back in order to figure out what that is. So I'm going to read through the section and then just share what the Lord showed me. All right, starting in verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he may have preeminence. So, I know I answered the questions and stuff in the booklets quite a while ago. I don't remember when it was that we were supposed to meet last, but it was several months before I had Micah. And so when I was preparing my teaching, I was looking through and I was just going back through some of the questions. And the first one, after I read through, really confused me because it said, the first question was the Father's role. What part did God the Father play in our redemption based off of verse 13? And if you just look at verse 13 without going back in the sections, at least for me, I thought when I was reading it the first time that the he who has delivered us from the power of darkness in this whole section, I thought that it was just talking about Jesus, because ultimately Jesus, with his sacrifice that he gave us, did deliver us from the power of darkness, and he made it possible for us to be conveyed into that kingdom by his sacrifice on the cross. And so originally I just assumed that it was Jesus, but then when I was looking back at that question, I was like, wait, what? And so I went back to verse 12, and it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And so in order to realize that it's the Father who the he is, you have to go back to verse 12 where it says to give thanks to the Father. That's the last one that he was talking about there. And it's really cool, honestly, that because when you look at it and you see that it's Jesus, you're like, oh yeah, yeah, he delivered us based on the cross. But when you realize that it's the Father, and you look back at verse 12 where it says, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, it's really cool because ultimately it was God the Father who sent his Son that enabled us to be delivered, that enabled us to be able to be have that inheritance, to be partakers of the kingdom. And so it truly is God the Father who has delivered us, even though it was that act of Jesus on the cross, it kind of also shows the oneness of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, because ultimately they delivered us. He delivered us. And when you look at, I thought it was really cool in this session, there was, I am not a very big vocabulary person. I don't know a lot of words. And when I read through scripture, I really like to look up words. I like to understand what, like, the true meaning behind the words that are used is. I think it just gives a deeper understanding of what God is trying to speak to us. So when it says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness, the word delivered means to provide in the sense of something that is promised or expected. So when it says He has delivered us from the power of darkness, He provided, like, right, He provided that way out from the power of darkness for us through Jesus on the cross, through His blood. He provided that. And it's even cooler that it's something that is promised, because that deliverance for us was promised. You can look all throughout the Old Testament and you see the promise of Jesus coming and dying for us and taking our place. And then it says, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The word conveyed means to transport or carry us to a place. I think it's just such a beautiful picture, that honestly, the way that we received salvation, redemption, forgiveness is through His blood. And we'll see that later through this section. It's through His blood that we received the kingdom, right? That we inherit heaven, that we get to experience heaven with the Father and the Son. And it's cool to me because through that, His death on the cross, when you look at the word conveyed in the second definition as to be carried to a place, I think of it as He carried all of our sins on the cross for us. When you just picture it like that, all of our sins He carried for us. He paid that debt for us so that ultimately we would be able to receive the kingdom, that we'd be able to partake in that. And it's just cool when you think about that. He carried us to that place by carrying all of our sins on the cross. So then as we go into verse 14, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood and forgiveness from sins. I basically knew what redemption was. I knew that ultimately it was what Jesus did on the cross for us that saved us from sin. But when I looked up the definition of redemption, there was two. The first one is the act of saving or being saved from sin, which is the one that I was like, yeah, that makes sense. That's the one that I know. And the second one, which I think was really cool, the second definition for redemption is an action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for a payment, clearing a debt. And ultimately, redemption, this redemption here that He's speaking of through His blood, it was an action. The action of Christ dying, shedding that blood to regain a possession, right? It was, for Him, it was regaining a possession of us. He regained that possession so that we'd be able to be with Him, because ultimately, like, He loves us. He wants us to be with us. And then it's in exchange for a payment, and that payment was the sacrifice that He made for us. And for us too, we gained a possession. We gained Him. We gained, eternity. We gained heaven. We gained access to the Father. All through His blood. And then it says, and the forgiveness of sins, which is all by His blood. It's just so cool to me that literally everything that we have in Christ is ultimately through His blood. It's through the sacrifice that He made for us that we have what we have. And it's just really special, our relationship with him. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Through his blood, we have the forgiveness of sins. Right? We all know it. John, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That action as he, through his blood that he took on the cross, that is what cleansed us from all unrighteousness, right? He's able to forgive us our sins because of his blood. He's able to cleanse us from those unrighteous things. And all we have to do is confess. All we have to do is trust him. Because ultimately, we're not going to confess something if we don't trust him. And so it all comes down to trusting him. Moving on to verse 15, it says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And I think it's really cool because, as I was saying earlier, that the picture of the first verse being the Father who had delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom. The fact that it was the Father, I think we really can see here in verse 15, because the way the Father delivered us was by sending his Son. He made visible an invisible God in the Son. So it was just cool because ultimately we see the Father. He's the image. So, like, you just think of it, like, he's the picture. He's what we can physically see. When he sent his Son, like, obviously we can't see him right now because we weren't there when he was there. But at the time when he was sent, when he was there to redeem us, when he died on that cross, he was the image of who God is, who we cannot see. That was what Jesus was. You would turn to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Here it talks about the curse that we receive, that we received when Adam and Eve ate of that fruit that was forbidden. And here in verse 13 it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangeth on a tree. So in order to redeem us, he became cursed for us, to free us. In Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 6, it says, for we, when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one will die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, God reconciled we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So that life, that image of the invisible God that God gave to Jesus, we are able to be reconciled to Christ. Right? It says, we shall be saved by his life. Because God sent him as the image of the invisible God, we're able to have life because of him and what he did for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 and 31, it says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and all righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Because ultimately, all of us, as it said in Romans, we deserve that wrath, right? Yet he took that wrath for us so that we can have that redemption. So ultimately, because we have received that redemption from him, we shouldn't be glorying in ourselves. We should be glorying in the Lord. The reason that he sent his son here was so that he would be glorified. And honestly, like, I know for myself, it's so easy to forget that we've been saved by Christ. That, like, it's easy for us to, like, get wrapped up in, wow, I just did that, or, oh, that's, yeah, that was all me. But ultimately, we should be giving the glory to God in everything, in every breath that we have, because we only have breath because of him. Galatians 4, verse 1 says, he gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil according to the will of God our Father. All of this was by his will. He gave himself for our sins. It's not that he just died for our sins. It's that he gave himself for our sins to rescue us. If we would continue on to verse 16, it says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And in verse 17 says, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So ultimately here, it's by him all things were created, right? When we think of John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was there. He was with God. They were one. When you look all throughout Scripture, it's really cool. When I was in school of ministry, one of the pastors brought us through, you know, we went through a few places in Genesis, Isaiah 6, where he takes the coal and touches his lips, and he, even here, and all throughout the New Testament, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And it's really cool because, and when he talks about us being created in his image, he uses a specific word, and it literally means us. He's talking about us. It means that God the Father was there, God the Son was there, and the Holy Spirit were all there. They were all present. That's why, now that we're talking about Jesus, it says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created through him and for him. I think again of that, that he who glories, let him glory in the Lord, because ultimately we were created for him. The animals, they were created for him. The planets, the stars, everything was created for him to give him glory. And it was all by him. In Colossians chapter 2, it says in verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So, Jesus, I mean, I guess it goes back to talking about the image of the invisible God. It's, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. All of it. It's just him there bodily. And so that's why he was there, for all things were created by him, because he's just the bodily version of the God that we can't see. In John chapter 1 verse 3, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It's honestly insane to me to think about, if he just didn't make anything, if he just existed on his own. Number one, what would be the point of that? it would probably be pretty boring for him, but if he just was there on his own, he would have nothing to give him glory, nothing to praise him. He would ultimately just be existing for the point of existing. Yet he decided to create all of us, everything on the earth, everything in heaven, everything we can see, we can't see. He created, I think it's cool because it says thrones and dominions, principalities and powers. He created literally everything. Honestly, he knows everything that's going to happen. He knew that we were going to be here today, that we were going to be talking about him. He saw it all. He created it all. His hand was in everything. And then in verse 17, when it says, "And he is before all things, and in him are all things consist." So we are able to live by him. We're able to have life in him and through him. Everything is sustained by him. In Romans chapter 11, verse 36, it says, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be the glory forever. Amen." And then in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, it says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." Everything that we do is in him. It's through him. He's the one who has allowed us to come to this point today. He's the one who allowed us to live to today. He's the one who will allow us to live as long as we're going to live. And he's the one who makes us able to move, able to literally live. Like it says, through him we live, we move, and we have our being. Our entire existence is through him, right? It says that we were created by him. Our existence is by him. And in verse 18, it says, "He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he may have preeminence." Ultimately, this section it shows how sovereign he is. It shows that he's supreme. The word preeminence in the last line of the last verse is said, it literally means the fact of surpassing all others or superiority. So when we think of him, we should have such reverence, not only because he created us, not only because he created literally everything around us, not only because through him we live and move and have our being, not only because he gave us redemption, he gave us a way out, he delivered us, he conveyed us to the kingdom, not only because we don't have to suffer because he gave himself for us, but we should have such a reverence for him because of who he is alone. That should be, ultimately, it should be enough for us of who he is. But even more so, everything that he's done for us should give us such a reverence for him. He didn't need to do anything for us. He literally could have just created us, left us on the earth, and let us do our own thing. And yet, he decided that he was going to provide redemption. He was going to deliver us. He was going to allow us to partake in the kingdom. And so, I don't know. It baffles me when people don't respect him, when people don't understand and are confused by him and like why we follow him. They're like, "That's just so dumb. Can't even see him." And yet we can. We can literally see his hands working in everything. And even when it is hard for us to see that he's working, we trust that he's working, that he's moving. I think about the elections and everything coming up, and, you know, it says that he created even those things. He created the thrones. He created the dominions. And so, like, he's allowed these things to happen, right? It's just by him that we live and move and have our being. He has allowed those things to happen. He has a plan. And it's just really cool to be able to witness it and to just trust that he's in control. Even when everything looks like it's going downhill, he has a plan. He's in control. He's sovereign. And so we should just trust and respect that. In verse 18, it says he's the head of the body, the church. And as I was saying at the beginning, when we were going through the introduction, I said that the beginning part, Paul really just wanted them to know who God is. The first few chapters is honestly about who God is. And here we see he's deliverer. He's redeemer. He is God. And he's creator. He's the head over everything. And he is before all. And so if we just think about it in that perspective of Paul writing to the church, this section is so powerful because he is literally explaining who God is to these people because they had gotten so lost in the legalism and the Gnosticism that they forgot who God was. They forgot who they were serving. They were a great church. He had very few faults for them, but they just got lost. And then later in the books, we'll see that he even talks about, later in this book, we'll see that he talks about that family setup, right? The children going to the parents and the wife going to the husband and the husband ultimately going to God. And we see that even here as he says that he's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, right? He was in the beginning. He was all that there was, and then he created because he was the beginning. It says he's the firstborn from the dead because he rose that we could rise, that everyone else could rise after. And because of that, in all things, he has preeminence. He has superiority. He surpasses all other because he is before, because he's creator. If you just look through this section, I know there's at least 10 things that describe who God is. It's pretty cool to look through and just go, okay, who is he? He's deliverer. He is the son of God's love. He's the redeemer. He's forgiver. He's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation. He is the creator. He is before all. He's in all. He is supreme. He is superior. He's, preeminent. He's the head. It's just crazy, how one person can be all of those things. And, because he is all of those things, we are able to live and move and have our being in him. Ultimately, what I really want to get across to everyone is just that Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move and have our being. What are we doing right now? Are we in him? Are we living for him? Are we moving with him? Do we have our being through him? Or are we trying to live and move and have our being in other things? Because ultimately, other things can give us whatever joy for now. Ultimately, He is the fullness of joy. He gives us fullness of joy. And if we just think about everything that He is, He literally has everything that we could ever need to live, to move, and to have our being now and for eternity. That we need to make sure that our focus is in Him. That it's not that in the TV I live and move and I have my being. In our cell phones I live and I move and I have my being. Or in my husband I live and move and I have my being. Or my family. That's not what it says. It says in Him we live and we move and we have our being. Why? Because He's before all things, and in Him all things consist. He's Creator. He delivered us. He redeemed us. He's for us, ultimately. If you look at literally everything in this section that He is, it's all for us. All of it is for us. So that we would give Him back glory. And we just have to make sure that that's where we are. That we're in Him. Because He is all. He's enough. He's there for us. So yeah, I just leave you with that encouragement that we would just make sure that we would just examine our hearts and see what are we living for? What are we moving for? Is everything in Him? Because all things are in Him. So I'm just gonna pray. Lord, I thank You for this time, Lord. I pray that, that we wouldn't get lost in my words, Lord, but I pray that You truly spoke, Lord. I pray that You would provide clarity where clarity is needed, Lord, and that You would just touch our hearts, Lord. I pray that You would be our center, Lord, that we would know that all things are by You, Lord, and that we would live through You, Lord. That You would be enough for us. You are enough for us, Lord. That we would just accept that You are enough. We thank You for Your redemption, Lord. We thank You for Your forgiveness. We thank You for delivering us from the darkness, Lord. And I just pray that we would just walk, Lord. Walk in Your ways. Walk worthy of Your calling. We just thank You, Lord. Thank You that we can come together in fellowship, Lord, and just know more of You. Amen.